Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 20, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In God will I trust, though my counselors say, "Oh, flee as a bird to your mountain away." The wicked are strong, and the righteous are weak. Foundations are shaken, yet God will I seek. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 20. Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel of John in the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 12 through verse 27. John 18, verses 12 through 27. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 18, verses 12 through 27. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Then Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Conrad and Felicia van Driesten, who were blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal and long-suffering God, outside of whose counsel not a man or a beast can speak or lift up himself, all things lying in thy eternal decree, and everything serving to an end, which thou dost have in thy eternal good pleasure. Oh, then we are not able to understand it all. We cannot comprehend it all. It is so far above our understanding of the finite creatures that we are, but it is also so often outside of that which we can agree with. Lord, wilt thou bend, wilt thou renew our wills, oh, that they may be one with thy will in all things. And then it is easy when they are things that we agree with, but when they cross us, then we raise up our fist to heaven. Oh, show to us what lives within our hearts, that we may see how great our sins and our miseries are, and that we may learn to bow before thee, the true and the living God. But thou knowest also all the need and the misery that is within this world because of the great disease of sin that we have begun already so many years ago. And we have caused all kinds of sickness and all kinds of trials and tribulations and persecutions and even death to enter into this world. Oh, that thou may look upon us with this awful disease by which we will surely perish, each and every one of us. Oh, we are traveling to a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, Lord, thou art only able to bind this matter upon our hearts, both for the first time and also by renewal, to give us to see who and what we are in thy most holy sight, and to give to us not only a remorse, but also a true godly sorrow, that we may turn away from all our iniquity and from all our sin. And wilt thou look upon us as churches, oh, that we may be given to look upon ourselves and within ourselves, for we have known the way, and then we are more guilty than all those that are in this world. And many have never heard thy word, and many brought up with nothing but a television in their home, so that Satan himself does rule in the midst of the darkness of this world. Oh Lord, then we are so guilty. Wilt thou give us to acknowledge it, that we may turn from our own evil, carnal, vain, and sinful ways, oh, that we may come back again to thy word and to thy testimony, that the spiritual things, the things of Thee, may be brought for each and every one of us in a personal way into the foreground in our life. Oh, that our hearts may be renewed, that they may be touched, that we may be born again, and that we may receive new hearts of flesh, that Thy children may be brought again, who have left Thy first love. And therefore Thou sayest, I have somewhat against Thee. Oh, that Thou may bring us again, Lord, all together, by that most powerful work of Thy Holy Spirit, to acknowledge our guilt before Thee, and to turn again, that we may take with us words, and that we may come and beseech Thee for mercy and for grace for us and for our dear children, and for all the world that does lie about us, for those that are godless, for those who are outwardly wicked, and who do mock Thee, and who do say that Thou dost not exist. For we read in Thy holy word, and when Thy judgments are in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Oh, could it be that indeed in this time, in this very serious time, that the inhabitants of the world may bow before the true and the living God. Oh, that we may be given to acknowledge that the true God truly exists, that Thy voice may be heard in the midst not only of all Thy blessings, but that Thy voice may be heard in the midst of all the callings that are coming upon us as a world. Oh, then we can read in Thy holy word that the Lord, He does sit upon the throne. His are all the dominions of this world. But Lord, that the floods, they do lift up their voice. The floods, they lift up their waves. Oh Lord, Thou art mightier than the noise of many waters. Oh, could it please Thee to remember this world in all the dire circumstances. Remember all those that are sick, and those places in a special way, where the sicknesses do rise to such a degree that there is confusion because there is no place for all the sick ones, and there is insufficient instruments to help them. Oh Lord, that Thou may arise, and that Thou may remember in Thy mercy, and wilt Thou help those that do cry. Remember those that are afraid. For many fears they do go through this world, and the fears for the life. Oh, that Thou may cause men to know from whence it has come, and also who holds it in His hands, and that they may experience that Thou art the true and the living God. Remember Thou all those who are in places in this world where this sickness does run rampant. Some of us also, with relatives in these places, in the Netherlands, in the United States. Oh Lord, that Thou may watch over each and every one of them, our congregations where they are in the midst of these places. Oh, that Thou may protect them in Thy mercy, and wilt Thou remember us also, give us vigilance, but also give us an eye that looks up to Thee, who alone art able to watch over and to protect us. Do remember all those that are old, those that are fearful. Remember Thou those who are lonely. Do look upon each and every one also, the nations of this world, in the economic circumstances, the poor, O Lord, in a special way, when they have nothing to eat anymore. Oh, that Thou may remember and help them, and wilt Thou look upon us and the businesses, for there are so many ramifications, and we are so dependent upon Thee for all things. Lord, remember us in thy mercy. Oh, teach us the tender fear of thy name, that it all may redound to thy honor and to thy glory and to the profit of men. Do remember the parents who were blessed with a well-born child in this past week. Oh, then they may acknowledge thee. May it be a child born to be born again, one that does enter not only into the warfares that must be fought in the midst of this world, but that it may be one who will enter into that church militant, that will eternally become come into that church triumphant. Lord, remember all those that need thee in special ways. Wilt thou remember those in the Bethesda nursing home? Do supply for them in all these circumstances. Remember nurses and doctors and first responders and all those that are set in harm's way. Oh, that thou may watch over them also for good. Do look upon us also in this afternoon. Lord, help us under these circumstances once again, as thou hast done in the week that is gone by, to make it an easy and a loving task. May it be also in this afternoon hour, that thy spirit may be felt and experienced, and that thy word may become profitable for each and every one in the places where that thou hast driven us. Do forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 13, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah, my God, on thy help I depend. From all that pursue me, O save and defend. Lest they, like a lion, should rend me at will, while no one is near me, they're raging too still. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 13. Our text for this afternoon can be found in the before read portion, John 18, and thereof the verses 19 through 23. John 18, verses 19 through 23. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" So far, the words of our text. The suffering of Jesus by the hand of the Sanhedrin. First, an upright answer to an unjust question. Second, a meek reply to an unjust rebuke. The suffering of Jesus by the hand of the Sanhedrin. An upright answer to an unjust question. Second, a meek reply to an unjust rebuke. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. We would say that is, those are not such bad questions. Why? Well, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they are blessed people. And the doctrine of the Lord Jesus, that is a blessed doctrine. Or do we ever ask after the disciples of the Lord Jesus? Because we can read of Ruth how that she has asked after the disciples of the Lord, "Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God." There can be no disciples of any man in this world that are so blessed as the disciples of Jesus. Is that also whom you do ask after, young people? Because you ask after many things in this world. Do you ask also after the disciples of the Lord Jesus? Do you ask also after the doctrine of the Lord Jesus? That is that same doctrine that Luther said that is heaven. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. The Lord Jesus was asked many questions in his life. The reasons that he was asked these questions that has differed greatly. We know that some, they have come to the Lord Jesus for instruction. They desire to hear his gracious words. Is this the reason? Is this the manner that we come to ask questions of the Lord? There were others we can read in God's word that they have come to the Lord Jesus that they may ask him questions to drive him in a corner, that he might not be able to answer those questions, that he may be trapped in his words, and that they may have somewhat that they may accuse him. And he answered them in his wisdom, so that we can read from this time forth that they durst no more ask him any questions. But here is a question again. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. It is the high priest. The Lord Jesus, he is standing in the court. He is standing in the church court. The Lord Jesus is standing before the bar. He is standing before a bar of justice. The Lord Jesus, he is standing bound. He is standing as a criminal. He is standing as one who has to give an answer. He must give an answer to a judge. That is something. The Lord Jesus, the judge, the creator of the whole world, the judge of this entire world, before whom you and I will soon appear and stand, and who will judge every man, the Lord Jesus, he is standing before the bar in an earthly court, just as one who must give an account. Oh, how deeply that the Lord Jesus has humbled himself. But we say there is nothing to fear. Why? Because Solomon, he says, righteousness delivereth from death. So a court, well, that is the hope of the righteous. The court, that is where a righteous man is delivered from all his adversaries, because in that court, then there is impartiality. An impartial hearing, there in that court, there are rules. There is an impartial judgment. There in the court, that is where they seek for truth. That is where truth prevails for the deliverance of the righteous, for the condemnation of the wicked. That is the very reason that we have courts in this world, that the wicked may be condemned and that the righteous they may be delivered. Therefore, the courts, they are so very, very important. And who is more righteous than the Lord Jesus Christ himself? He who could say, which of you convinceth me of sin? And no man could give an answer. And now the Lord Jesus, he is not standing before the worldly court. He is not standing before the Gentiles. No, he is standing before the church court. Or you say, surely the Lord Jesus, he will be acquitted. At this time, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, they were no longer a free people. They could not condemn a person in this world to death, and yet they had their courts. And the high priest, he was the one who had to judge the most difficult cases. So we see the Lord Jesus, he is standing before, it says, the high priest. Who is that high priest? We read, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. Thus he stands before Caiaphas. So the Bible that tells us in this chapter that this court that has a great problem. And what is that problem? The problem is that the very judge himself is biased. He is biased against the man that is standing at the bar. What do we read? Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. When was that? That was after the raising of Lazarus. And then the Sanhedrin has come together and they have asked themselves, what shall we do? And then before that there was any kind of a trial, Then this Caiaphas, he has already pronounced the sentence against Jesus. It is expedient that one man should die for the people. Now we read that he was sent first to Annas. And Annas, we read he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. So together in their corruption, they are glorying in their prey, and there is no place for justice in this court. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Is that now the first thing that has to take place in a court? That the judge, he will ask that man that is standing at the bar, that he will begin by asking him about his followers and about what he teaches? Oh, you say, no, that is not the first thing that has to happen. No, first there has to be an accusation. And after there is an accusation and someone accuses him of something, then the Lord Jesus, he will be allowed to open his mouth. He will be given time that he can make a defense. Thus we see it happens just the other way around in this court. The Gentile court of Felix, that was more upright than this court of the Sanhedrin. We read about Felix when Paul has come. He says, when thine accusers are come, he says, then I will hear you. Why does Caiaphas not begin there? Caiaphas has a great problem. Caiaphas does not have any witnesses. There is no one to stand and to speak against the Lord Jesus in this court. There is no one. And that has anything true to say about the Lord Jesus that is ready to witness against him. Thus, this judge, this Caiaphas, this high priest, he has a great problem. What will he do? He will question Jesus himself. He will ask him of his disciples and of his doctrine. He will try to find something himself. He will make Jesus his own accuser. He will see what he can find that the Lord Jesus will say wrong. It is pure wickedness. In a subtle manner, Caiaphas, he is actually making an accusation himself. He is not permitted to do that because he is the judge. He asks the Lord Jesus of his disciples. What are the number of your disciples? What is the power of your disciples? Oh, that is just as if the Lord Jesus is guilty of sedition. Just as if Lord Jesus is guilty of insurrection against the government. As if that he has gathered followers. And with those followers, that he is going to overthrow the government. Indeed, the followers of the Lord Jesus, they are of great concern to Caiaphas. They are of great concern to the Sanhedrin. Then they have said it themselves. As the people did follow him more and more, then they have said among themselves, see, how did we prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. They lose their own followers. They lose their own honor. They lose their own reputation. The Lord Jesus, he points out their wickedness. They are no longer respected. Indeed, the followers of the Lord Jesus are a great concern for Caiaphas. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. He asks of his doctrine, just as if that he has secretly taught. As if he has secretly taught the people that they would disobey the law of Moses. He sat himself with publicans and with sinners. Then he would eat with unwashing hands. He allowed his disciples to go through the corn and to pluck the ears of corn the Sabbath day. Surely all that the Lord Jesus experienced here was to him a great grief. Where is he standing? He is standing before the officers of the church of his Father here in this world. He is standing before the high priest. He is standing before the Sanhedrin. Oh, there was a time that the Lord Jesus came into the house of the Lord, and that he has cleansed that house of the Lord. Because in that house, they were selling all kinds of goods. They were selling for the sacrifices. And the Lord Jesus, he has driven them all out of the temple. And he has said, "Make not my Father's house a den of thieves." It has grieved him in his heart because it was his own Father's house. Oh, how this also must have grieved the Lord Jesus Christ. How that the very court of that church that ought to have been done in righteousness according to the word of his Father had degenerated to such a degree that that high priest Caiaphas, he is able to ask these questions and to run this court in such a way, without any objection from all that are ruling about him. Thus the Lord Jesus answers Caiaphas, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." What does the Lord Jesus do? We say it is an upright answer upon an unjust question. The Lord Jesus rebukes this high priest for the manner in which he is running this trial. That it is a trial without an accusation. That it is a trial without witnesses. And he says that need not be. It need not be without witnesses. I have spoken openly. I have not said anything in secret. There are a multitude of witnesses. Gather all the Jews together. And let them come here, have come up to me. And I have desired to hear my words. Ask them. They know what I said. That is the answer of a good conscience. You have an answer of a good conscience also, young people, children. Can you come to Father? Can you come to Mother? And say, "Father, Mother, this is what I said." Can you say, "Father, Mother, this is what I did"? Oh, a good conscience, a clear conscience. That is a very blessed thing in this world. And when you will walk uprightly, then you can give an answer for everything that you have done and for everything that you have said. Ask the Lord for this. The Lord Jesus has nothing to hide, nor can his enemies refute him. And yet they will try to rebuke him. We see that in our second thought, a meek reply to an unjust rebuke. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Thus the Lord Jesus, he receives a blow for his upright answer. By whom? One of these inferior officers. Thus he follows the high priest in his wickedness. Corrupt servant following a corrupt master. The Lord Jesus, he is accused of falsehood. Supposedly, he has spoken disrespectfully to the high priest. Only he has spoken the truth. But it was deservedly humiliating for this high priest. Oh, it is good to respect those who are in authority, your office bearers in the church, and also your teachers, school, children, young people, also those who are in government over us. But we must be careful. Here he says, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And when that high priest, in that office that he has received, then he does so wickedly, and then this servant of this high priest, this officer that stands by, then he continues to uphold that high priest in what he is doing. Oh, corruption. Corruption that has taken hold of that Sanhedrin. And that high priest needs not to be respected. He needs to be rebuked. He needs not to be blindly followed in his corruption. The Lord Jesus, he is upright. He is honest with him. But he is falsely accused and he is struck for it. Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" We just heard in this morning how that the Lord Jesus was apprehended in that garden. He was apprehended by the officers of the guard. And we heard how that those officers, they have laid for a moment flat on their back. Oh, they have laid for a moment as persons who were overcome. They were given to feel for a moment how helpless that they were under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were given to feel for a moment that they could do nothing, absolutely nothing, except the Lord Jesus himself gave them permission. Oh, you would say that the Lord Jesus allowed those officers to stand again. Oh, how that must have broken their hearts. And yet here we read of an officer whose heart was certainly not broken by it. He hardens himself, even as Pharaoh hardened himself. Will that be us also? When the Lord in this time, he gives us to feel as people, as nations, as doctors, as hospitals, that the Lord Jesus gives us to feel our helplessness. Or what will it do unto us if we may be spared? If he may allow us to rise up again, will it now break our hard and stony hearts? Or will we continue to rebel against the Lord, even as this officer who struck the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has power to cut this man off. The Lord Jesus had power to take revenge against this man. He has struck him. And he has struck him entirely without reason. But revenge that did not lay in the heart of the Lord Jesus. It is just the opposite. The Lord Jesus gives to him a meek reply, an honest reply. He gives to this man instruction how that he ought to have spoken. If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Oh, how long suffering is the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto his enemies. As he is standing in the court, how meekly that he has testified of the wrongdoings in the court of the Church of God. A biased judge. The sentence ready before the trial. No witnesses. No accusations. No cross-examination. And the punishment. Stricken before that there is a verdict. The Lord Jesus objects. He objects to the illegal proceedings. Later we read the Lord Jesus, he is brought before Pilate. And similar things, they are happening in that court of Pilate. But he said nothing. Not a word. Why does the Lord Jesus speak here? The Lord Jesus speaks here in his mercy. The Lord Jesus speaks here as a warning to the Jews. Because the Church of God that receives warnings that the Gentiles do not receive, that is for a purpose. That the Church of God may receive instruction and that they may turn away from their wickedness. Rebukes. Rebukes are a great mercy. They are a great mercy if they are heeded. But a rebuke that is despised will increase our judgment. Just as these rebukes that the Lord Jesus does give here will increase the judgment of this Jewish nation. Injustice of the court, that is a matter which the Lord has rebuked in his people of old. You can read that in the Old Testament. How that the prophets have prophesied against the people of the Lord, the rulers of the children of Israel, because they took bribes, because they do not do a just judgment. And so the Lord Jesus continues to rebuke his own people in the New Testament, because that court that is an institution of the Lord. And in that court, a judge, he is standing in the place of God himself. That is why they are even called sometimes in the Word of God, gods. But not only so, but the Lord Jesus has also himself suffered under this court, and that for the sake of his church. But let us sing. Psalter 92, stanzas 2, 4, and 6. Ashamed, confounded, let them be who seek my ruin and disgrace, O let thy angel fight for me, and drive my foes before his face. Without a cause my life they sought, without a cause their plots they laid, themselves within their snares be caught, and be my crafty foes dismayed. 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 92.
Thank you.
what painful feelings are welling up in our hearts when we view injustices that are taking place upon this earth. See righteous Naboth being stoned before our eyes. As so false witnesses, men of Belial, they have risen up against him. They have condemned him. And all the people, they are casting stones at Naboth because he has supposedly blasphemed God and the king. See Ahab. He is going down to take possession of the vineyard. Oh, our hearts, they are so glad. And we see the prophet of the Lord. And he is going up to meet Ahab, that justice may be rendered unto the man unto whom that it is due. Here David, he says to Mephibosheth, speak no more of thy matters. Thou and Ziba divide the land. Oh, we say Ziba, that is a wicked man. Oh, David, you should have given everything back unto Mephibosheth, and Ziba should have been punished. And that injustice that is causing within us an inward pain. How much more if we have to experience that injustice even ourselves? What do we read of the officers of the children of Israel when they are demanded still to give that tale of bricks? And yet, they are given no straw. They go in unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh is only mocking them. And what do we read? Oh, they saw that they were in an evil case. They had no recourse. Pharaoh himself is against them. The highest authority in the land has himself corrupted the court. What does David say? He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Oh, the righteous. Because the righteous, they are looking for justice. The righteous, they are looking for judgment. That is their hope. That is their expectation for the deliverance from the wicked. What does Solomon say? He says, righteousness delivereth from death. But it cannot deliver from death if the foundations themselves are destroyed. It cannot deliver from death if the very court is corrupted, if the very judge is corrupted. And then what a grief if that is in the church itself. Oh, it is painful. It is painful for us as sinful men. How painful this must have been for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. How it must have touched the tender soul of the Lord Jesus Christ to be standing and so treated within his Father's house by that very priesthood that he himself has ordained, and by that very priesthood that is standing as a type of himself Thus we have the painful suffering within the soul, the holy soul of the Lord Jesus Christ in the court of the Sanhedrin. And then not only to view it, but to become himself the object of it, standing at the bar. Therefore, his upright and his meek answers, they are not in order that he may obtain deliverance. No, he has already rebuked Peter. I put thy sword into the sheath. But my father's cup, which he hath given me, shall I not drink it? No, his meek and his upright answers, they are for the instruction and for the welfare of the Jewish people and our own fathers, mothers, teachers, employers, office bearers, justice. Justice is so very, very important in that station and the calling which you have been given here in this world. Because people, men, women, children, parents, young people, they are looking for justice. To experience justice at our hands, at the hands of those who are in authority. And there are those in this world who do not receive that justice. And their only recourse is to cry unto God. And if they cry unto God, then you may be sure that he will hear them, that he will hear them, and that we will not fare better than Pharaoh has fared. We will not fare better than King Saul has fared in all of his injustice against David. We will not fare better than Ahab has fared. When the Lord Jesus returns upon the clouds of heaven, he is not going to be standing anymore before the bar of men, but he is going to sit upon the throne of judgment, and all men, they are going to be called to stand and before his bar. And the Lord Jesus, he is going to preside over that great court. And his judgment, that is going to be just. Here is now the hope. Here is now the expectation of whom? It is the expectation of the righteous. It is the expectation of the true church of God. Very often, only read the history of the church of God and see how that church has borne the injustices of men in this world. Oh, the Lord Jesus has said that they shall endure trials, tribulations, and persecutions. It is a church that is therefore awaiting that last day. It is the hope of the righteous to stand in the just judgment of God. Why? Because they have a righteousness of their own? Because they can say that they themselves have not disobeyed? Because that they can say that they themselves are not corrupt? Oh no. What did Paul say? He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That is now the language of the church of God. Is that also your language is there also my language, we often sing it, a mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. That was David's language. Is there also our own language? Did we ever truly experience, did it ever become a godly sorrow within us? But the salvation of the church that is founded upon justice, was this also ever revealed to your soul? The suffering of Christ, that is a suffering of the punishment that is due not to himself. No, he could stand in that judgment and say, there are now all the witnesses that are against me, and no one can say one word. No, there was not a punishment that was inflicted upon him for his own sin, but he is an atonement. It is a vicarious substitute. Did not Isaiah prophesy of it? That he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace that was upon him. And when faith, when it may only behold it, and when faith may only receive something in it of it, then that hope is born. Hope. Hope concerning what? Hope concerning the judgment. Why? Because that righteous judge, he cannot punish sin two times. What did Abraham say? He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He is not a judge as Caiaphas. No, he rebuked Caiaphas. And when now that punishment, that atonement, that sacrifice, and that is now brought before his Father, then it is impossible that that church of God that shall be punished also. It is so necessary then to know that the Lord Jesus, he has also stood in our place, that he is also our substitute, that he has paid our punishment, because otherwise our soul cannot be comforted by the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. We cannot just make an assumption. No, it must be applied. It must be given to each of us in a personal way. You say, well, how do we know this? How do I know if it has truly become mine? Well, we know that by the fruits. By the fruits. The fruits of true saving faith. The fruits of faith, they are experienced in the soul of a man. What does faith do? Faith believes. Say, what does faith believe in? Read our catechism. It says, misery, deliverance, gratitude. Yes. But now each of these, to believe, you say, what does that mean? How do I know if that I believe in misery, deliverance, and gratitude? Well, each of those, they are accompanied by fitting feelings of the soul. If the Lord, he has called you to stand before the bar of his justice, and if the Lord has brought home to you his holy law, so as we have mentioned last time, that you have to die, and you are not willing to die, but you also have to stand before the judgment seat of God, and you do not dare to stand before the judgment seat of God, then that man, he was trembling thus to tremble. That is the soul feeling. When we have to stand, when we are called into the court, then we will tremble. Thus we must ask ourselves, not if we have only a mind knowledge of the matter of our misery, but did it ever so affect us, our heart, that we have also trembled because of that misery? Not only because I have to die and I do not want to die, but to tremble because I have to stand at that bar of the justice of God. Then we tremble. And if the Lord, He reveals something of that mediator, that Savior to our soul, what are then the feelings of the soul? Well, then a man, he rejoices. Do not say he does not still tremble, but he rejoices. That is what Bunyan said when he came into the gate. Then he rejoiced. And he said, yet tremble. Yet tremble. Why? Well, because there is still more that needs to be known for all that trembling to go away. But now to rejoice for a moment. To rejoice for a moment. Why? How? Our mind that can know there is a deliverance. But if we have trembled, and the Lord has revealed the smallest part of that deliverance of His own Son, then our heart that has also leaped. Oh, it has seen that there is a way. When it could not find a way, and when it thought for sure that we would be cut off and have to die, oh, He did rejoice, and yet He trembles. Later He comes to the cross, and then that burden disappears. And you read that burden falls off of Him, and it falls down into the sepulcher of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something different. That is another matter. Oh, that is what is experienced on the day of Easter, on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Paul, he does say that He was raised for our justification. That is a blessed matter by which the soul that may be able to say that He is mine and that I am His. Oh, then they are able with confidence to stand before that judgment seat of God, having that assurance that sin that was paid in that blessed mediator and the Lord, He is righteous. Oh, He does not call an acquitted man back unto that bar, oh congregation. This is a matter, children, young people, say, this is not for me. Oh no, do not say this. Do not say this. This is a matter that affects every single one of us. Not one accepted. Do you feel that in these times? When so many fears are abroad upon this world, that is not only old people, it is not only sickly people, also some young people, also some children. Paul, he says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if we are then not included in these sufferings of Christ, then when we stand there, we will stand for our own account. The Apostle John says in the book of Revelation, who shall be able to stand when His wrath appears? Oh, let us not put these matters off unto another day. Because we can feel in these days that our life that is so very uncertain, whether we are young or old, but let us fear the Lord, and let us fear His judgment, and let us plead with Him who has stood Himself at the bar of justice here below. He is just, but He is also merciful to give unto the guilty who seek unto Him in that day of grace a complete salvation. He says, come now and let us reason together. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, a little word out of thy holy book, what thou hast done for thy church, and it was so wicked what they have done to thee, but Lord, thou hast borne it, and thou hast borne it for the sake of thy own people. And therefore thou dost call also unto us, O turn ye, from your evil ways, why would ye die? And then that sacrifice that is also preached unto us, and that it is still possible that we are included in it in a day of grace. O Lord, bind it upon our hearts. Young and old, we cannot bind it upon our own hearts. It all belongeth unto thee. Bless thou thy word this hour and this thy holy day. Keep us in the week to come from all accident, danger, evil, and sin. To remember the confession students when they will receive their examination. Then the methods, they are so different. But Lord, thou art able to overcome it all. Wilt thou be on their right hand and on their left? And wilt thou make all things well? And wilt thou keep each and every one of us from a sudden and an unprepared death? Be with those that do labor on the sanctuary. And wilt thou keep us all also from the disease that spreads itself forth through this world? O Lord, we beseech thee, when the times they are so frightening unto men, that thou may give to seek in the first place that rock of refuge under the shadow of thy wings. But could it please thee also in this week to show thyself, that the plague may be stayed, and that thou mayest receive the honor for it. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 363, stanzas 2, 3, and 5. Lord, if thou shouldst mark transgressions in thy presence, who shall stand? But with thee there is forgiveness, that thy name may fear command. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 363.
Amen.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.